Can we do something really quick? Can we just give Jesus a round of honor? Father, we just thank you. Can we just give God some praise in this place this evening? Father, we just thank you. Let's just pray really quick. Is that cool? Let's just pray. He's already here, but I'm just going to ask him to continue to do what he wants to do. Amen. Because how many of you know I can come with notes, I can come with a planned message, but I don't want what I've planned. I want what God has planned. One of the type of prayers that I pray at my church all the time, and our worship leaders have adopted it, and our pastors have adopted it because it's a good prayer, and it's this: Holy Spirit, do what you want to do, and do it now. Because I don't want to tell God what's on my mind. I want him to tell me what's on his mind. It's a good thought, right? Jeremiah 29:11, he says, I know the plans that I have for you, right? So I can spend my time in prayer just telling God what I want, or I can seek his desire, and I can seek his plan, and I can seek his heart, and I can seek his thoughts. So can we just bow our heads and ask God to reveal his thoughts to us tonight, reveal to us what he wants tonight? Father, we just come to you in the name of Jesus, and God, I just thank you for this amazing opportunity that we have to come and to break bread with one another. Father, I pray right now that more than just getting prayer, maybe a prophetic word, Father, I pray that people will leave here tonight knowing you just that much more. Father, I just pray right now that you have your way. Holy Spirit, do what you want to do. Some of you have to come into agreement with that tonight. Holy Spirit, do what you want to do. And Holy Spirit, we ask you that you do it now in this place as you already have. Father, I just thank you for this amazing opportunity that I have to stand behind this sacred desk in front of amazing people to bring a word, Lord, that is fresh, hot off the press. Just got it during worship. Father, I just thank you for what you're doing and what you're going to do in this place. In Jesus' name. And the church said, amen. If you have your Bibles, I'm going to just jump right into this. I'm Ryan. Me and my wife flew here from Pennsylvania. Came in on Thursday, had a prayer meeting on Thursday night. I think I taught, four classes on Friday. Came home, did some stuff with Steven to set up for the backyard bash. He had me on a lawnmower, y'all. And I was mowing grass and just taking care of a whole bunch of different things with his team. His team's amazing. They pulled it together, had an awesome time last night. Got to preach the gospel to over 100 people in his backyard last night, which was amazing. Over 25 kids gave their lives to Jesus for the very first time, or maybe for the second time. Can we give God praise for that? Come on, y'all. But then I woke up, and it was funny because Stephen told me, he's like, man, he's like, you know, Saturday would just be a time that you can chill and hang out a little bit. And then he told me, oh, well, we got to clean up from the backyard bash. So about 9 hours later, I got to sit in his house, wind burned, eat a pulled pork sandwich. Come on, somebody, right? Got to eat a pulled pork sandwich and down, got a shower, shaved. My wife ironed my shirt, and now we're here with y'all. So I think I have about 16 speaking times in 6 days. I think I counted it, and he keeps on adding more. So it's going to be amazing. And when I come home, I got a wedding to do, and I got my son's birthday, and I got a whole bunch of other different things going on. So I will ask y'all to pray for me, but pray for my wife, because my wife needs to sleep more than I do. And I can keep going, but she cannot. But anyways, guys, if you have your Bibles, I want you to turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 4. 1 Corinthians chapter 4. Tonight, I want to speak a little bit on a topic called Let It Rain. I want to speak just a little bit on Let It Rain, and I promise you that's going to make sense in just a little bit. But I want us to turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 4, and this is one of my favorite verses, and it says this in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 20. It says, for the kingdom of God is not in word, but in power. Let me say that again. For the kingdom of God is not in word, but in power. Can I tell you something? It is impossible for God to speak a word and his power not manifest what he has declared. Let me say that again. It is impossible for God to speak something and his power not show up. It's impossible for God to speak something and then for nothing to happen. Manifestations will always precede a spoken word from God. Because the Bible says in Psalms, God exalts his word above his name. And the Bible also says all the promises of God are yes and amen. And I'm here to tell you guys something. All of God's promises are still alive and active today as it was the day that he spoke it. Hebrews 13 says he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And I'm here to tell you that God wants to release his power here tonight, but he also wants you to walk in that power every day, because he doesn't want you just to be the recipient of his power. He wants you to release his power where it brings change and transformation around you. Can I tell you something? You don't have to be stuck in your predicament. And if you come into contact with people who have their own predicaments, you don't have to look at them and see them suffer, because you have power inside of you to speak life into them and see them overcome their circumstance. The Bible says, freely receive, freely give, and it is God's desire to set the captives free. That's why God speaks. He speaks to declare what he's done for you, but he also speaks through his word to give you a hope in what he wants to do for you. Come on, somebody. God's revelation is actually a description of what he's done for you, but it's also, and watch this, it's also a declaration, it's a prophetic declaration of what he wants you to have a hope for and what he wants you to have faith in your future. How many of you know that sometimes you face things and you become hopeless, and that is not the time to doubt the word or run from the word? That is the time to know the word and not just quote it, but actually believe it and speak it over your situation, because the Bible says death and life are in the power of the words you speak. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks, right? How many of you know that you have the power of God inside of you, but you also have the authority to release God's power through what you speak? Can I tell you something? One of the greatest things the enemy's after is your heart. Do you know why he's after your heart? Because out of it comes words. And can I tell you something? When you speak, you will live in the world that your words frame. And a lot of times we get discouraged and we allow experience to form the words that we speak, and we complain about the absence of what we desire to see, and we think God has missed it, but really he hasn't missed it. We just haven't partnered with him in faith. Romans says faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Can I tell you something? God wants to release power into your life, but he wants you to first believe that he is powerful and more powerful than your situation. Can I tell you something? Matthew chapter 6, verse 10 says, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. If it's not happening in heaven, then why is God's children who are destined to heaven and have heaven living inside of them, why are they settling for things that are not of heaven? If it's not of heaven, you have authority over it to crush it with the words you speak. That's why Jesus said, if you have faith as a mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, be removed. Why? Because you have authority over it. And that authority was given to you by the power of God. For the kingdom of heaven is not just in word, but in power. Can I tell you something? I have been praying like never before for services, man, that we're having here up in Canada. But more importantly, I've been praying for Canada, that you guys would truly experience the raw power of God, where it would shake you, where it would move you, where it would set you on fire for God. What's being on fire for God? It's having a passion that can't be distracted, a passion that just burns where you want him and crave him. Can I tell you something? A lot of times, man, we blame God for things that he didn't do instead of praising him for the authority that he's given us over those things he didn't do. The enemy's out to kill, steal, and destroy. Why are we questioning God and him bringing life? The power of God being released in your life is you being empowered to overcome those things that God didn't produce for you. Do you hear me?
A lot of people live with this mentality. Well, it is what it is. It's just life. That's not life and life more abundant. It's the enemy coming to kill, steal, and destroy. And instead of just settling for it, God wants you to overcome it. Does this make sense? Can I tell you something? God is tired of his people having more expectation on the enemy kills, stealing, destroying, rather than God bringing life and life more abundant in a situation. A lot of people just put up with things because they're like, well, one day I'll get to heaven. I'm a Christian, so I'll go to heaven. Can I tell you something? Absolutely, you'll go to heaven. But God paid the price for you to experience the culture of heaven in your prayer life and in your declaration. Do you hear me, y'all? Instead of just putting up with the problem and waiting to get to heaven, why not believe for heaven to invade your situation? What does it look like for heaven to invade your situation where it invades and overtakes where it looks like itself? There's no fear, there's no worry, there's no depression in heaven. But too many people put up with depression and fear and anxiety because they say it is what it is. Jesus didn't die for you to put up with your problem. Jesus died so that you could overcome your problem. That's a good word, y'all. Come on, somebody. Jesus didn't die on the cross so that you could put up with your problem. Jesus died on the cross so that you could overcome your problem. That's why Romans 8 says that you're called to be more than a conqueror. Being a Christian doesn't mean you escape difficulty. But if anything, being a Christian means you're anointed to overcome difficulty. Anointing is far beyond having a good gift in preaching and singing. Anointing is being a person endued with the power of God that no matter what tries to poke its ugly head up that's not of God, you have authority over it. Can I tell you something? You have authority because of the power of God being inside of you. And I'm here to tell somebody tonight, you might be in a place where you feel like you're in a wilderness and the enemy's just running rampant in your life. It's time that you it's time that you gain control of your life and stop allowing the enemy to manipulate your life. How do you stop the enemy from manipulating your life? You silence the lie with truth. Faith comes by hearing the word of God. But a lot of times we don't want to hear the word of God because we feel judged and we feel condemned because of our situation. I used to not want to read the word pastors. You know why? Because I used to feel judged. And I used to say, well, that's not where I am, God. But thank you for showing me where I should be. But I'm not there. And I used to fall in this guilt and condemnation, thinking where my life was versus what God has declared over my life, it didn't match up. And I felt guilty and condemned rather than encouraged. Until God spoke to me and he said, son, it's not supposed to be where you are. It's declaring where you want to be and where you can be in me. He says, if anything, my word is actually revealing to you who you really are. The lie is trying to condemn you. The lie is trying to tell you that you are opposite of this word. But he says, Ryan, I don't speak so that you conform to, watch. He says, I don't speak to conform to where you are. He says, I speak to transform your mind so that you don't settle for where you are. That's why Jesus says, don't just be a hearer of the word, but be a doer. That's why Jesus said, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Repentance is changing the way you think. Can I tell you something? The power of God wants to change the way you think. Because not only is the enemy after your heart, because that's where your words come, he's after your mind, because that's where your life will go. The enemy has no power to create anything. He doesn't. He's out to kill, steal, and destroy. There's no life in him. But you were made in God's image. So guess what? The enemy wants to pollute your mind and deceive you in believing a lie as truth. And he'll use your external circumstance to try to confirm a lie as truth. Because if he can pollute the way you think, he can indirectly create something through you by the words you speak and the thoughts that you think. Because the enemy's not allowed into your future. But he's afraid of your future, and that's why he wants to make you afraid of your future. Because he knows if you submit to God, you're going to resist him. Resist who? The devil. So if he can get your attention, he can get your life. And he can kill, steal, and destroy if you give him your attention. This is going to make sense to y'all, but I think it already does. But watch this. You have the power to create things with the words you speak and the things you think. As a man thinks, so is he. There's a way that seems right to a man in the end is what? Destruction. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Death and life are in the power of the words you speak. If the enemy can get you to believe a lie, then he'll get you to live a lie. If the enemy can get you to believe a lie, he'll get you to speak lies. He knows that you have authority. He knows that you are giving power. He knows there's a power for you to discover. And he's like, okay, it's cool if they discover they have power, but I want them to misuse it. I want them to misuse it by saying all the wrong things, speaking all the wrong things, so now they live in the wrong thing and they blame God. That's why it's so important. Romans chapter 12, it says, watch this. It says, don't be conformed to this world, but what? Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Can I tell you something? God will meet you where you are and not judge you for where you are. But can I tell you something? He will challenge you to not settle for where you are. Can I tell you something? God's word isn't always there to make you feel good. But God's word is there for you to look forward to something that's good. Can I tell you something? God is okay with challenging your feelings to empower your faith. God is okay with God is okay with confusing the way your mind was thinking so that you can start thinking the right way. I was telling people today, the best way to learn sometimes is to unlearn. I lived a life in fear of God because of lies that I actually started to believe about God. And instead of living close to God, I lived a distance from him because I actually believed views and thoughts and opinions that I had and others had. And I kept a distance from him rather than embracing him. But then God spoke to me and showed me his love and who he really was. And can I tell you something? I unlearned what I thought I knew about God. And I now discover who God really is, man. And now I live closer to him than ever before. I started realizing God uses his power to edify me and not to bring me down. He uses his power to construct something in me and not to destruct anything. Can I tell you something? The greatest place for you to have breakthrough is to truly see God for who he is. Because then you'll believe him for who he really is and you'll see his power released in your life. I'm here to tell you something, guys. I have been crying out to see God's power move across Canada and move across the United States and around the world. I don't want just another good sermon. I want the power of God to come into my life and wreck me and wreck people around me. But can I tell you something? It starts with my mind changing and my heart changing because I need to believe in the right stuff. Do you know sinners read this thing and their lives aren't changed because they choose not to believe it? But these things that we call the Bible, the promises of God, are released into the lives of those that actually believe them as truth and actually desire to see the manifestation of what God has spoken. Can I tell you something? God's word is just an introduction to your perspective, what he's done and what he desires to do, and you get to write the story. You ever read an introduction to a book? I skip those usually, but they're usually pretty good if you spend some time and read the introduction to a book. God's word is just an introduction to the story that he wants to write with you. Can I tell you something? God's word isn't the end, it's just the beginning. God's word isn't a lid to a container, it's actually a launching pad for your life. God's word is a description of his power. And your faith is what aligns you to receive that power in your life. It's impossible for God to speak and for you to believe and for him to do nothing. But if the enemy can get you to believe that he won't, then you won't see it. And then you'll say, see, I knew I was right. But that's why we have to continuously renew our minds. You know, the pastor said a verse that I absolutely love in Philippians chapter 3. Paul says that I might know him. I don't know about you, but I want to live my life knowing God and his power. And not just shelf his power, but see his power released in my life because I actually expect it and I actually believe it. Do you know God wants his people to be more excited than ever before because we actually are in a place of expectancy where we've heard about his power, but now we're expecting to see his power in our life where we won't remain the same. And then if we don't remain the same, the people around us won't remain the same because freely we've received, now freely we give. Guys, this testimony about the star quarterback that got healed up here, that's just one of many things that I've seen God do because I dare to believe him at his word. I choose to believe what he says. I don't want to just memorize it. I don't want to just quote it. I don't want to impress people with my scripture memorization. I want people to glorify God because they see a man who actually believes it and they see a man see God. It's impossible to seek God and not be empowered. God wants us to seek him that we may know him because he wants us to be empowered by him. Because Jesus died for you to be an overcomer. And the testimony of your life can bring hope to others because the testimony of your life, people seeing God and hearing about God in your life, that's the testimony of your life, can become a prophetic declaration to those who are around you, because now they're not just hearing it as a far-fetched story, they're seeing it in you as reality. I don't want to just know God in story form. I want to know God relevantly. I want to know God historically, but I want to know God historically just so that it really just stirs up my faith to see him pour out relevantly. Currently. But can I tell you something? I'm tired of just praying about it. I want to see it. I don't know about you, but I want to see things happen. We talk about revival. I want to see revival. We talk about God's power overtaking the earth. I want to see the power of God overtake the earth. But it's going to take us to be diligent. It's going to take us to be radical. It's going to take us to be passionate. It's going to take us to be persistent, to not give up. I felt like I was coming here tonight to speak to somebody that might be in a droughted place and you feel like giving up. You felt like you were led to a wilderness just to die. But I'm here to tell you the rain's coming. Before they even started singing about it's his breath in my lungs, the Lord took me to Ezekiel chapter 37 about the dry bones. Can I tell you something, y'all? God is tired of us settling for death when we have the ability to release life. God is tired of visiting us at the same spot in life. God is tired of us continuing to pray about the same thing. God is tired of us still going around the same mountain. God is tired of us going around the same walls. God wanted me to release prophetically over this church and over this region that he wants the walls to fall. He wants the limitations to break because he wants his people to go and possess what he has for them. And a lot of times those limitations that we set aren't from the devil. They're from us. We set limitations for ourselves and we say, God, we're willing to go this far and that's it. And there's more to possess, but we've put walls up. And I really believe that God wants us to bring those walls down, and he wants us to step over the rubble of those walls, and he wants us to possess. He wants us to lay a hold. God is tired of us setting limitations for him. He's tired of us setting limitations for ourselves. Because watch this, you're made in God's image. If you limit God, you limit you. But if you limit you, you limit God. And I'm not saying you stop God, because God's going to still move in people who believe. But can I tell you something? If the enemy can stop you from believing, you'll stop receiving. Because you'll shut yourself up and you'll be resistant to what God wants to do in your life. But I came today, if anything, to see the prison doors unlocked and to see the walls fall tonight, man. Because God wants to meet you where you are, but instead of visiting you in insanity, he wants to bring you to a place called prosperity. That's a good word, y'all. Come on, somebody. God wants to meet you in insanity, and he wants to bring you out to prosperity, man. He wants to prosper your soul. He wants to prosper your heart. He wants to prosper your life with his kingdom. He wants to prosper your life with his power. Greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. The more you seek God and the more you know God, the more he becomes a greater reality in your life. Philippians 4:13 says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Can I tell you something? You'll do more when you know more. The more you know about Christ, the more you'll be empowered by Christ to do more through Christ. We quote that verse as if we're this confident Christian. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And then something challenging comes and we're like, oh no. I don't know if I can confidently stand on this stage and say, you know what? I can do it. Like, I can't say that's a testimony of my life. I'm doing all things through Christ, but it is the pursuit of my life. And I promise you, a lot of you can sit here and say, that's not the testimony of your life. I'm doing all things through Christ, but it can be the pursuit of your life. I'm pursuing to do all things through Christ. Because when you want to know him and his power, it empowers you through his grace to be led by the Spirit and do things that you said you couldn't do. And I believe this is a time and this is a season for the body of Christ to do the things they said they couldn't do. You know why? I believe the next assignment for the body of Christ is the assignment of their can'ts. Watch this. Do you want to know the next thing God wants to do in your life? Look at the things you can't do. Is this all right? Do you want to know what God wants to do in your life next? Look at what you're not doing in your life. Is this all right? I'm serious. If you want to know what God wants to do next in your life, you've got to first see what you're not doing. Because a lot of times the thing you're resisting is the thing that God wants to do. You're dried up, you're in a wilderness, you're doing nothing but living in insanity because you're trying to do the same thing to get a different result, and you're living in insanity. And God's like, why don't you try this word that will bring prosperity to your life through my power? The more you seek Christ, the more you understand you're empowered by Christ to do more through Christ. And watch, allow Philippians 4:13 not to be this wrongful testimony, because we all can't say we're doing all in Christ. But how about you make that a pursuit of your life? I might not be doing it now, but I'm going to pursue it so I can do it later. Is this all right? I'm glad, because I'm going to keep talking about it. This is a season for the body of Christ to see walls fall and us step over the rubble, where we're doing things and possessing things through the power of God that we've never done before. But that means you've got to be willing to do things that you weren't willing to do before. Come on, somebody. Can I tell you something? God says, I'm going to let it rain, but did you plant your crops? Because can I tell you something? It's impossible for God, and I'm almost done, but it's impossible for God to speak and for nothing to happen. But how many of his children are actually preparing for what God's about ready to do? A lot of people don't prepare for what God's going to do because they don't believe he's going to do it. God, I want your rain to fall. Get yourself an umbrella. God, I want to harvest the souls. What are you doing to plant seed? God, I want life in this area, but what are you doing to speak life? God, I want to be able to do that in my life, but what are you doing now to be invested into to be able to do it later? God's not looking for people. Going to be a hurtful word. God's not looking for Christians that sit on a lazy boy. He is looking for Christians who have their walking shoes, their running shoes on, and are waiting for an assignment to run with. But I don't know if I can. I already preached that. Philippians 4:13. That might not be the testimony of your life, but that should be the pursuit of your life. I hope I offended somebody. You know why? I told Pastor this yesterday. It was a pretty good word. If you hear him preach it, he heard it from me for now. Just like Pastor Joel. But I said this, and I'm going to tell you this. What offends you will actually reveal to you what God wants to do in you. So if that thing comes up again, it don't offend you. And it goes along with the word that I said. The thing that God wants to do next in your life is the thing that you tried to shut the door to in your life. Can I tell you this? You're called to submit to God, and in that you resist the devil. James chapter 4. What it means to submit to God is not to submit to his dictatorship or his fearful rulership. It's actually calling you to submit to the DNA of freedom, liberty, empowerment. God's not looking to control you. He's actually looking to free you. Come on, somebody. God's not looking to control you. His scriptures aren't there to control you. They're to empower you to walk in freedom. And you want to know what freedom is? Freedom is walking with no limitation. Freedom is walking beyond the walls of limitation that you set for yourself and possessing something that you never thought you could lay your hands on. Watch this. God's not calling you to be a Moses where all you see is the promise. Or he's not asking you to be a Moses just to hear the promise. Because some of you are like, well, you don't understand what I did, Pastor. And I'm not I'm your friend, but I'm sorry, I'm pastor mode right now. But you might say, Ryan, you don't know my past. It doesn't matter about your past. Get over it. Let hell have it and give heaven your future. Ooh. You know what? I pray over people sometimes, and this might offend you, but it's truth. To hell with your past. Well, look at Moses. He messed up and he wasn't allowed to go into the promised land. You're under a new covenant. But can I tell you something? Moses just heard of the promised land. He got to see of the promised land from afar off. But guess what? He never went and possessed it. God's not saying you're a Moses, but he is telling you you're a Joshua. Because of his son Jesus, Yeshua, you have the right to go possess and not just look. That's why James chapter 1 verse 23 says, don't just be a hearer of the word, but be a doer of the word. Because God wants you to be the recipient of his power through faith.
that's good. I promise you I have more. Come out tomorrow night. It's going to be fun. But let me just challenge you with this, man. This is what I live for, is to know God, because it's for my empowerment. The Bible says, submit to God, resist the devil. Too many times we live our life trying to resist the devil with no power because we haven't submitted. We need to stop worrying about resisting, and we need to look forward to submission. Not submission to God's dictatorship or fearful rulership, I'm going to say it again, but to his freedom, his security, his empowerment. God's grace doesn't just excuse your sins. God's grace empowers you to live a life without sin, right? Can I tell you something? God's grace empowers you to live a life of obedience. And a lot of times we sit in our failure. We sit in our fears. We challenge God, and we try to argue with God. You don't understand where I've been, God. Like Luke chapter 5, Peter was like, listen, we fished all night and nothing happened. But then Jesus said, still, just cast your net on the other side. And then they brought up enough fish where their nets were about ready to break. Their ships were about ready to sink. And then I'm sure Simon fell into repentance. Can I tell you something? This is a season for us to see things happen that we thought were too good to be true. This is a season for us to actually see God move in ways that we actually argued with God and didn't think he would, because we allowed life to be our potter. We allowed the enemy to manipulate us. But God's going to cause you to unlearn, but in the same way, learn when the rain comes. How many of you just think how crazy Noah must have looked in front of people when he was building something they never seen? But he was building because he trusted that rain was coming, even though he didn't understand what rain was. Do you think that was peace that surpassed it all? Do you think that was actually peace that surpassed all understanding? I just know it's God. You can make fun of me, you can ridicule me, but I just know this is God. When is the sons and the daughters of God going to say, this is God, and I'm not abandoning my post. I'm not giving up. But I'm going to prophesy to the dry bones that they will live because I heard a word from God. I'm a builder. Why did I talk about the way you think and the way you speak first? Because God wants us to have a stirring inside of us that, like Ezekiel, we prophesy over the dry bones that they should live. Where we actually possess and believe that we will possess what Jesus laid out for us to have. That if we seek, we shall find. If we knock at the door, it will be opened unto us. If we ask, we shall receive. Matthew 7, 7 and 8. Some of you might be sitting in here and you're like, Ryan, I know God provides. I know God loves me. I know. Can I tell you something? That might be because you're sitting on a mountaintop, but do you know that and actually trust that, or do you question it when you're in the valley? I love how Paul said in Romans, I'm persuaded that nothing that will, I could go through the list, but he says, nothing shall separate me from the love of God. But too many times we're easily persuaded. Opposite of the truth. The truth doesn't persuade us. The obstacle, circumstance, situation persuades us to not believe. And now our confession is not lined up with truth or influenced or infused by truth. It's infused by manipulation. And now we're confessing the wrong things, believing the wrong things. We get, because we have our eyes fixed on the wrong thing. And rather keeping our eyes single on what causes faith to be produced, we keep our eyes on darkness that causes fear to be produced. Now we resist what we should be keeping our eyes on, and now we're focusing on something that we shouldn't keep our eyes on, and we're living in this fear, in this manipulation, in this doubt. And because we were made in God's image to create something, your something's up to you. Do you know the body of Christ is putting up with a whole lot more than they should because they spoke the wrong stuff and believed the wrong thing?
Why do you think Jesus kept saying, repent for the kingdom of heaven is at hand? That's change your way of think. Change your heart. Keep your eyes single so your life can be full of light. But we keep our eyes single on the wrong things. We start questioning God, judging God, arguing with God. And we're now backing away from that thing that is of God because of the pressure of those things that are not of God. And we allow those things that are not of God to become the gospel that we follow. But it's a gospel of death, not life. Then the wrong thing happens in our life and we blame God. The devil like dropped the bomb and then he slithers out. And we blame God and he didn't have his hands on it. I feel like I'm speaking to some people. I feel like I'm speaking to a region. It's not just the church. And I'm not saying your church is dry. But I feel like I'm speaking to an area that God is bringing revival. That he is bringing rain. But I first have to speak to the hearts of the people who are in these churches that I get to speak at. Maybe you're in a dry place. Maybe you're standing and you're seeing a valley of dry bones like we see in Ezekiel chapter 37. And you feel it's impossible and you don't see how this is going to happen or that's going to happen. Or this looks impossible and it is what it is. And I've just given up on my hope and dream to see this happen. I feel like that for God right now is me, like God saying, this is like a valley of dry bones where people have lost their hope in their dreams. They've said it is what it is, and they've settled for things that are outside of the gospel because they are just tired of trying, and they're tired of fishing all night and catching nothing, so they're just washing their nets, and they're about ready to give up. But I'm here to tell you, it might not be by your might nor by your power, but I'm here to tell you it is by the power, the Spirit of God that will be released in your life if you just believe that he'll empower and bring life to what you thought would always live in darkness and death. He'll bring life to things that you thought the stone was rolled into and the dead thing is just going to stay there. And I feel like the Spirit of the Lord wants me to tell you tonight that it is time that you have hope and it's time that you speak to the valley of dry bones that are in your life. Things that were put to sleep and died should have never been put to sleep. There should have never been death to those dreams, but God has brought me the whole way from the state of Pennsylvania to tell you that it is time that you realize the power of God that's at work in you. His power is for you and not against you, and God wants those bones to live. He wants that dream to live, man. He wants those things that you've been facing that have been producing death. He wants you to believe in life and he wants you to see things that should not settle for death be resurrected. He wants me to tell you tonight that he wants to stir you up. He wants to encourage you to rise above your circumstance in the way you think. And you might physically still see the valley of dry bones. But the Bible says that God spoke to Ezekiel in Ezekiel 37. And he said, Ezekiel, prophesy to the bones that they should live. Can I tell you something? God is one in an army that will truly believe in his word. That when everyone else is settling for death, when everyone else is fearful and worried and downcasted because of the storm and freaking out and questioning God, he is looking for a people who have hope in God, to know that Jesus died so that you wouldn't be overwhelmed or broken down or have a breakdown, but he died so that you could overcome and that you could have breakthrough. He's looking for an army of people that will stand on the valley of dry bones, and instead of saying, well, there's death, it is what it is, we rise up as a warrior bride, a strong bride, a soldier of Christ, and we say, life be. Can I tell you something? If God didn't speak it, it doesn't have the power to remain the same. But because God spoke it, it's going to change if it's not of God. Because God loves his people. But watch this. He doesn't come to where you are. He doesn't judge you where you are. But he's not going to babysit you where you are. If anything, he's going to speak to you like Ezekiel and say, change what you see. Because you don't see what others see. You see what I see. So speak life. And you know what happened in this vision? Ezekiel spoke life and bone and muscle grew together and flesh came onto the bones. And then God breathed his life into those bodies and they lived. Can I tell you something? I really believe I came the whole way from the state of Pennsylvania to tell this church, Lazarus, come forth. Stop settling for the grave when God wants you to walk in life. I don't care what the enemy has told you. That shouldn't be prospering in your life. You need to know that Jesus died so that you wouldn't be overtaken by the storm, but that you could overcome the storm, man. Jesus said, whatever you see me do, you can do and do even greater. There are signs, miracles, and wonders that follow Jesus. And Jesus basically gave you an invitation and said, signs, miracles, and wonders can follow you. Just believe. Can I tell you something? I'm here to tell you, don't just settle for the blessings of God. Want to know the heart of God, because it's the heart of God, it's the grace of God that is going to empower you to face your Goliaths. It's going to be the power of God. It's going to be the love of God that is going to empower you to do things, man, that you once said you couldn't. I'm a builder. That's why I said earlier, you want to know what your next assignment is? It's probably in your can't. It's probably in your won't. It's probably in your but. Like, no, but God, I won't. I preached a message at my church a long time ago called Get Off Your Butt. And people are like, when I said the title, I said B-U-T, not your B-U-T-T. But some of us do need to get off our butt, our B-U-T-T. Because you weren't called just to sit and warm a pew. Well, I'm just waiting for God to move, then I'll move with him. He already has. Can I tell you something? We need to start having more hope in the finished work of the cross. Do you know what? I believe there's too many people in the body of Christ who are waiting for God to do something, and he already finished his job. He just wants you to have hope in the finished work of his job so that you can do your job. There are some people who are waiting to give God praise. They're like, God, I'm just waiting for you to do something. And then when you do something, I'm going to give you praise. Can I tell you something? God wants life to come to your praise. And pray, watch, life will come because of your praise. But God wants to bring life to your praise. That might be a pile of bones in your life. Your worship might be dead, and God wants to bring it to life. You've been waiting for something good to happen when it already has. You're waiting for God to do something and he already finished it. Do you know what the Lord said to me? He says, Ryan, he says, if you wait to worship me when I do something, then you have no hope in a finished work because I already finished it all. If Jesus didn't finish it, he wouldn't have hung on the cross and said it was finished. So we're waiting for God to do something that he already has done. We're waiting for something to be complete before we give God praise. And God says, I've already done it. It's finished. So give me praise. Well, I don't see it. You're called to walk by faith, not by sight. A person that has a live worship, life to their worship, they worship in the valley of dry bones, knowing that life is coming. Can I tell you something? Another thing that God wants to speak to that's dead and it might be a pile of bones is your expectancy. Some of us lose hope because we've lost expectancy. You raise your level of expectancy, God's going to raise your level of experience. And God wants to bring life to your expectancy. Stop just expecting God to do what you can control. Start expecting God to do things that only he can do in your life. God wants to bring life to your expectancy tonight. Maybe it's a physical issue in your life right now, and the enemy's tried to lie to you and make you believe, and you believed it, so now you're living a life in it that you can't overcome your physical element. God wants to speak life into somebody tonight. God wants me to prophesy to those pile of bones and say, you can't live without that issue. You might be in sickness tonight. You might be in your backs might be messed up. I feel like there's at least four people in this house who have some back issues. I feel someone has actually an issue with your tailbone. There's someone who has an issue with their ankle. There's someone who has sinus issues, even in the fall season. And God wants to heal you of those things. Well, I just don't believe that because, you know, I don't know if Jesus still heals today. Can I tell you something? Tell that to the people we've prayed for and seen get healed. That's why God wants to bring life to you through faith. When we were worshiping, the Lord said, Ryan, he says, I want my people to come alive. I want the dry bones to live through my power. He says, I want their expectancy to live. I want their faith to grow. He says, I want their can't to go to can. He says, Ryan, I want their worship to come alive. Because some of you are waiting for something to worship. Jesus said, it's finished. That's enough to give him praise for. Some of you are still waiting for revival to break out in your church. And God wants revival to break out in your heart first. Because some of you, your heart is the pile of dry bones. Some of you, your mind is your dry bones. And I just came to speak life into your mind, your heart, your worship, your faith, your expectancy, that it will live. So that you can live and be prosperous and in good health. Can I tell you something? Jesus says this. I'm sorry, Paul says this. He says, listen, he says, I wish above all that you would prosper and be in health just as your soul prospers. What if your physical healing came when your mind, your soul, your mind, your will, and emotions were healed? Some of you, God wants your soul to be healed tonight. Maybe your soul is the pile of dry bones that God is going to speak life to tonight. Be in good health for your soul, that just as your soul prospers. How does your soul prosper? I already preached it. It's the word of God and believing the power of God. Watch this. I'm almost done, Pastor, I promise. Watch this. The Lord says this in Genesis chapter 1, verse 2. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. Some of you might feel like that's your life right now. You feel like God's hovering, but you don't feel like God's imparting. And you feel like your life is void and has all this darkness in it. Can I tell you something? God's seen that and said, you know what? I want to do something with that. I want to bring life to it. So he said, light be. He separated the waters from the land. He brought vegetation. He brought trees. He brought birds. He brought the creatures in the sea and the creatures on the ground. And what was formless and void and nasty and dark and him hovering on it, he then inhabited it. Can I tell you something? God wants to inhabit you, not hover over you. And when God, watch, when God inhabits you, he steps right into you. And what was formless and void and dark, God speaks truth. God brings his power. God empowers and brings beauty to something that was dark, formless, and void. God wants to release his power over you tonight so that things that may have died will live. Maybe it's your hope. God wants your hope to live. God actually wants you to live because you hope. I don't know what it is, and I'm not here to speak down at this church. I think your church is amazing. I could feel such a sweet presence in this house as I stepped in, and your pastors are amazing. And if you go here or not, I'm not here to say this message is condemning. This message, I hope, is encouraging. God wants to bring life to what you counted out and said was dead. Whatever is formless and void and dark, that's probably the next thing God wants to speak life to. That might be the next place that God wants to bring healing. Guys, I've been seeing God do so many amazing things in his power. And it brings so much confirmation and so much integrity to his word because of what I've seen follow his word. Do you know what God's power is? It's everything that you see that empowered people in scripture. And it's all the testimonies you hear of God empowering situations. And I feel like God just wants me to encourage you tonight that he wants to empower you and he wants to encourage you and strengthen you and he wants dry bones in you to live through his power. It was the power of God that raised Lazarus from the dead. It was the power of God that raised Jesus from the dead. It was the power of God that made the lame to walk, the blind to see, the deaf to hear. My question is, what's your bones? Because that might just be what God wants to heal, restore, and bring life to, y'all. Let me just share a testimony with you about the power of God. I was standing one time in a service, and the Lord gave me a prophetic, or gave me a word of knowledge about someone's back. And I said, there's someone who has sciatic nerve damage. It's in your back and it's going down your left leg. And this one lady freaks out and she goes, oh my gosh, that's where I'm at right now. And she hobbles up to us, right? This was a little while ago. She hobbles up to us and she goes, okay, you need to pray for me. So we started praying for her, and I sat her down, and I found out she had one leg shorter than the other. God grew her leg out, and the pain from her nerve damage left. But then she started poking her stomach. And I'm like, what in the world? Why does she keep poking her stomach? And I'm not making fun of her, but this is what she was doing, guys. She's sitting, and she's just like, and I'm like, oh my gosh, like what's going on? Because what caused her back pain and her nerve damage was that she had a tumor on her spine. Right? So they had to go in from the front of her stomach to get to her back to remove the tumor. What then caused all this disalignment, all this pain. And she started telling me, she's like, oh my gosh, Ryan, Pastor Ryan, oh my gosh. And I'm like, honey, like, shh. Like, what's going on? Like, tell me what's going on. Are you all right? Because, like, I didn't know if the pain came back and it was worse. And I didn't know what was going on. And she just kept poking her stomach. I'm like, honey, why are you poking your belly? Because it was like the Pillsbury Doughboy. I was waiting for her to go, ooh, you know. And I'm like, why are you poking your stomach? And she says, you don't understand. And I'm like, clearly I don't understand because that's just weird. Unless there's a reason behind it. She's like, oh, there's a reason behind it, Ryan. And I said, well, why? What's going on? She said, Ryan, when they came, that's when she told me she had the tumor on her spine and they removed it. And she said they had to go in the front of her stomach. So they went in the means of her belly button area to get to her spine. She says, Ryan, she says, whenever they sewed me back up, it was like it disfigured the whole front of my stomach with the scars, you know, the cuts and scars, the incisions and stuff. And she says, I know this sounds odd, but she says, my belly button was way over here on their side, right? I didn't know that was possible, but it happened, right? It just moved. I'm like, whoa. She says, when they sewed me up, there were some things they had to take out, and my belly button was over here. But I think it's actually, it like moved back. I'm like, she's like, you want to see? And I'm like, no. Go to the bathroom, check it out. So we start praying for more people. She opens up the sanctuary doors. She goes, yay, Jesus. And I'm like, what happened? She said, Ryan, my belly button, I promise you, was way over here. She says, it was disfigured. It was weird. I didn't want to wear a bathing suit. She says, I went into the bathroom and it is completely perfect in alignment with where a belly button should be. And she started freaking out and the church just hit their face, man. That's the power of God bringing life to dry bones. I'll share one more testimony with you and then we're going to pray. Maybe two more. I did a Thrive Youth Conference, one of my last ones. And the next day, we did a Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. And that's when my now wife confirmed she was in love with me. You know what I'm saying? She liked me. But anyways, so it was a Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. In the midst of that, I had a dance party. Because I was a youth pastor up until last year. I'm now an associate pastor. So I had a crazy schedule. It was all on me to hold this event, but God had his way. I had 140 staff to help make this work. But it actually, I only had 5 people that reported to me, and then they had people under them. That was really cool. I'll teach leadership 101 later. But anyways, and it was so cool because it was awesome because I got to then preach our 8 a.m. service, and we had an 8 a.m. at the time and then a 10 a.m. service. And I was tired, y'all. Right? I was tired. I was like, man, I got to teach now. I got to preach these services. So I left early on Saturday night, and during the first service, second service, I was praying, Pastor. I was praying, God, I want to see your power. Guys, that's a prayer of mine every day. I mean it. I'm not always perfect in it, but I want to be perfected in it. I want to see the God's power. It's what I've been praying, and I believe it's going to happen tonight. People aren't going to remain the same, and I dare you, I double dog dare you to get up here tonight. It's going to be good. I want the power of God, Pastor Joel. I do. I don't want another message. I need a manifestation of his power. So I was praying that prayer. It's a dangerous prayer, but it's a fun one. I was praying that prayer during worship, and I was sitting down. I was like, you know what? I deserve the rest. I'm tired. So I was sitting down. And through that whole weekend, I had a death threat on my life. Someone had gave me a death threat letter. And so I had high security around me because it was weird. I'm not making this up. There was a girl that kept giving me notes. She'd sit in her car. Whenever I would get out of my car, she would get out of hers and start walking towards me. It was weird. Gave me a card that said weird stuff. And so there was a lot of people around me. So there was three guys that were with me that left and came back. And they said, Pastor Ryan, there's somebody here that wants you to pray for them. And I'm sitting down praying for the power of God, but I was tired. I was just like, man, I just don't feel like it. I was like, you pray for them. They're like, oh, we already have. Because we want to empower our body. It's not about just me praying for you. I said, you pray for them. And I used that as an excuse because I really just didn't want to pray. I was just tired. And God's like, you've been praying for my power. Release it. I'm like, what do you mean, God? He's like, it's in you. He says, Ryan, there's a lot of people that miss out on opportunities to see my power released because they refuse to release it. I'm like, God, what do you mean? He says, Ryan, speak to the mountain. So I stood up, and there's a big gentleman there, and he says, Ryan, Pastor Ryan, he says, I just got diagnosed that I have a tumor on my spine. And he says, Ryan, he says, the doctor says it doesn't look good, but I'm asking that you pray for me. For some reason during worship, and I was praying during worship, God, I want to see your power. He said, Ryan, for some reason, I knew you were going to be getting ready to speak, and I didn't want to interrupt you, but I was just drawn to the light that was coming from you. And he said, for some reason, I felt like you had to pray for me. He says, Ryan, I've been praying. I know I have authority, but I feel like you have to pray for me, Pastor. And I said, okay, come here. And I barely even touched him, and he fell out in the presence of God. And I spoke to that tumor to leave, to be dissolved, to not even exist. He goes back to the doctors the next day. They do the CAT scan and MRI, whatever it is, MRI. He comes back to the church and shows me and my senior pastor images of the tumor and then images of no tumor. That's the power of God. Why shouldn't we crave the power of God? It brings life. It brings restoration. It brings breakthrough. And that's what I want to believe for you guys tonight. If I can get the pastors to come, I want to pray for whoever says, you know what, this message applies to me. And I just want you to stand with me, and I want you to pray for me. If that's you right now, with every head bowed and every eye closed, if you're saying, you know what, Pastor Ryan, pray for me. Pray for me. If that's you, bow your heads and just lift up your hands right now. If you're saying, you know what, this message really hit home, and I want you to pray for me. Okay, that might have been uncomfortable, but I'm going to make you do one more thing that might be a little more uncomfortable, but I promise you God's going to do something tonight. If this message did something, and you're saying, you know what, Ryan, I don't want to settle for the lie. I want to overcome. I want to come through, and I want to see the power of God at work in my life. Can I tell you something? Don't just get singular with it. God might affect one thing, but he has multiple things in mind. And I feel like tonight is going to be a turning point for a lot of people, because God says, as I shift the singular thing, it's going to bless and line up the plural things. And I really believe this for the church. I just want to release this over the church. The Lord wants me to tell this church that divine alignment is coming to lives and not ministry. And I feel like God is bringing divine alignment to this house, and God is bringing an increase in this house. And I feel like the Lord says that the drought is over and life is coming. The Lord says things look like they were void and darkness, and it felt like God was hovering, not inhabiting. But we know what happens when God inhabits. God created earth when he inhabited earth. Can I tell you something? God says, I inhabit this place. And God is going to shift things, and he's going to bring revival, and he's going to bring restoration and reconciliation. And I feel like the Lord speaks and is speaking now divine alignment over this place. Divine healing, divine restoration, divine reconciliation. And I promise you, the next time I come back here, you're going to be double in size, whatever double is. Because God says there's a draw, there's a favor on this house. We just come in agreement, Lord, that you just bring it. We just pray, God, you bring it. In Jesus' name.